Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
First of all, Conan O'Brien is apparently copying us again.
Jerk.
He's launching a podcast called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Whatever.
Just so you know, we have a long-standing feud with Conan O'Brien. He is unaware of it.
As was I, but now.
And as he is unaware of me. It's really just more of a mental feud that I've had with him for a number of years. I've never told anybody about it. I thought I'd mention it now. Yeah.
Okay,
but now it's out there. Now he knows. Conan, contact me. You probably don't know how because,
it's rough.
Yeah.
Well, I happened upon this. Or it happened upon me. You know, I never know if I'm actually finding something on my own or if an algorithm has decided, show her this. She'll go for it.
Kind of like how Facebook advertises with you.
Yes.
I'll just be like, I'm thinking of cheese. And then suddenly it'll be like, buy Velveeta slice. And I'm like, whoa.
Mm-hmm, I know,
whoa.
So Adam and I watch TV, unlike a lot of other people. It's all streaming. And so I was unaware that this had aired on TBS, TNT, or is airing, whatever. For me, I'm watching all of it on Netflix. It's called Conan Without Borders. And it is spectacular and spectacularly funny. He goes to Israel and Palestine and Mexico. They do not want to pay for a wall.
Honestly, I don't know of an instance that I really ever thought that Conan wasn't. Like, everything I have ever seen him do, like, however some people felt about, like, his Tonight Show run, mm-hmm. which I thought was hysterical and brilliant. Like, I apparently didn't draw Jay Leno numbers. I loved him.
Yeah.
On the Tonight Show.
I did too.
Loved him on Conan on TBS. Loved him on, what was it, The Late Show?
Mm-hmm.
Was that trying to... I everywhere I have ever seen his...
Him immensely.
Legally Prohibited from Being Funny on Television tour. Like, mm-hmm. Conan O'Brien... Like, he came to Nashville not too long ago and, like...
Didn't call us.
If I could have... Well, I mean, that long-standing feud.
Exactly.
If I could have spared, like, that money, like, I would have definitively been there to see mm-hmm. that. Would have loved to have seen him live.
Well, what happened behind this is you're going to get, as he says, a 1 minute and 32 second history. Yes, he took all of the history of the Middle East with graphics. Boom, 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 boom. And kind of you got the idea of what was happening. And he says, and I'm going to solve it all. So part of his idea is truly humanitarian because he feels that if people of different cultures can just sit down and talk to each other, they'll find that they are more alike than different, and that governments are a whole different situation than people talking to people.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Yes. So there is that going on. And the stuff that he gets to do is just, most of it's hilarious. It was so funny to me to see him go from one country where he keeps telling them how famous he is, and they're like, whatever. And then he goes to another country, like South Korea. South Korea, he was a rock star. Like, the airport was jammed. And then elsewhere, it's like, hey, I'm famous. And they're like,
Which is, when you think about, like, his reasonably, like, humble, like, beginnings, mm-hmm. and I mean, like, what was it? Was it Harvard or Yale? I want to say he was...
Yarvard.
That's not a place. Huh. It's like...
The Simpsons.
He has a...
He's very smart.
Yes. Writer on The Simpsons. Like, go back. It's early Simpsons. Like, and I don't want to say this and to imply that it's not, but, like, it's good Simpsons. Like...
Yes.
No, it's great Simpsons.
It is.
Like... Occasionally, you get
it's
bits
Phil
of
Hartman
brilliance now.
Simpsons.
Yes. Like, first 9 years, Simpsons, that's when Conan was there. Like, yeah. Just, and like, you can almost pinpoint the jokes that he wrote, like, mm-hmm. in those episodes. Eventually goes on to get Letterman's gig from him after he graduates up, do you want to call it that?
Whatever.
To CBS, like, relative unknown at that point. Like, several, like, high profile people were going to get that gig, and then they give it to this guy named Conan O'Brien, mm-hmm. who nobody knew.
I remember. It's like, he's that guy from The Simpsons. That's all we knew.
That was
The Simpsons. So in this, his interacting with people, spectacular. He runs through some jokes in Israel with a mother and daughter older. And he says, you know, like, you're supposed to laugh there. And so this woman who looks about 65 goes, ha, 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 ha. And then she sits there quietly. And it just took him so by surprise. Little things like that are happening through the whole thing. And it's interesting. I mean, I always like to see other cultures because I don't want to go and travel somewhere that is far away from my home because no. That's not me.
My idea of what I want to do is definitively not 21 hours in a plane.
Yes.
Like, I don't like going 5 minutes across town in my car.
Yes.
And I like, this is with me climate controlling it and playing the music that I want to hear. I'm still just kind of like, ugh.
But I love seeing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll watch it. If you will put it on my screen. Yeah. Yeah. I'll do that.
I think that's awesome. And I would love to have tasted some of that food. Some of it looked great.
Okay.
The octopus that he wanted to take home as a pet, they wouldn't let him. But there's a lot of comedy to be had and a lot of real moments as well. It's not all just played for laughs. But I will say it is 90% very funny. And you're going to pick something up and learn something.
I think a lot of what we had said about Letterman on his show on Netflix, just basically that, like, whenever you take the constraints down of them having to put it into a certain amount of time, advertise this, these are just two legitimately funny men.
Yes.
Conan O'Brien, like, honestly, just listening to his opinions on things, like, letting him pontificate about any kind of subject matter, like, he's interesting regardless of what you're letting him do.
And it was very interesting to he was approached by, and I'm going to get it wrong, but he goes on both sides, Palestine and Israel, and there were protesters on one side, and he had planned to go to a refugee camp, and I guess they didn't know who he was, and they just saw a crew. And so how he talks to them. And in another situation, he's in Haiti. And again, there are people who just see a film crew. They don't know who he is. And they think that, oh, Americans are coming here to show how awful Haiti is and not show how good it is, which that is the precise opposite of what he was planning to do. He was planning to show off how good the people are and things like that. So it is a little bit of a travel show and a lesson. And he dances a lot. There's
Conan
a lot
Love.
Of comedy.
Well, if you've ever watched his opening monologue.
I mean, he's in Israel. He goes to the Dead Sea, where some people cover themselves in mud. Then he goes and plays a white piano. And he goes up to this young girl, a young woman. And he said, so, was I more attractive before or after I was covered in mud? And she says, after. So he says, for me to be attractive in this country, I have to be covered in mud. He sought out a guy in the crowd who looked like the only Israeli man who did not work out. And when the guy took a picture of Conan and the guy's girlfriend and his hand was shaking a little bit, he turned to the girlfriend and said, it's because the phone's too heavy and he's weak. You got stuff like that going on, just things that clearly are not scripted. There are some scripted bits, but it's a good show. And I couldn't tell you if there's language. There's certainly no nudity. If there's language, it went right over me. But it's a really good show, and it is currently on Netflix, and I enjoy it immensely. But, yeah, you do have to binge it. Yeah, do.
It's Conan. Mm-hmm. I would say that's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, it really is. There aren't a gajillion of them, but it's certainly worth it. Now, you have been watching The Reason Why Anyone Has All Access for CBS, and that is
Star Trek Discovery.
Yes.
Well, right now, that is the only reason. The upcoming, what is it, the Section 31, the Picard series, like the
that's
new.
That's what it's called now, Section 31?
It's going to be, that's what it's based on. Like, basically, that's like Starfleet's, like, Black Ops, like, they do the dirty stuff that, like, you know, it's not about seeking out new life and new civilizations.
So, In that world, Picard will have retired from captaining, and he does Black Ops now.
No. There is a Section 31 series and a Picard series. Picard is not. No. The captain from the first season of Discovery, the Mirror Universe.
Yes.
Captain, what's her? The one that.
Yes, her.
I cannot.
Michelle Yao.
Yeah, she is going. Her Mirror Universe evil version has joined Section 31. Like, she's only kind of evil. She's more of like an anti-hero. She is going to be working for Starfleet in this universe in Section 31.
Okay.
Separately from that, there is also a Picard series starring Patrick Stewart.
I just had a vision of him, like, you know, Chief in Get Smart.
Yeah.
He's like, you there. Okay, so.
Brent Spinner is Maxwell Smart.
As we have discussed before, Discovery is movie quality TV, and it takes place prior to Star Trek, the original series. But it is when a timeline where Spock is alive, but we don't know how old he is, because Vulcans live a really long time.
Well, you do see younger Spock.
Yes.
In the that they have alluded to the fact that Spock will be here this season. However, he is not going to be the Spock that we met at the beginning of the original Star Trek series.
Right.
This is the Spock.
This is hipster Spock.
Essentially, yeah.
Yes, this is hipster Spock before he got his act together. And that's really, just look at the guy. It's hipster. He's got an ironic beard.
Michael Burnham,
female.
You could say that's the main character of Discovery, is Spock's half-sister.
Adoptive.
Adoptive half-sister, yeah. But somebody pointed
out. Half, she's his adopted sister.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Cybok. That's who I'm thinking of. That's his half-brother. Okay. This is his adoptive sister.
I wonder if they'll bring him. No. Anyway.
I think the fact that the creator of Star Trek said that Star Trek V is not canon, like, I think that pretty much, though, you know, I'm sure they've done nuttier stuff. Like,
I guess we'll wait and see. So for those who don't know and deeply care, you do have Sarek, Spock's father, and Michael Burnham. He raised her. Her parents were killed, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, you put together, like, that.
Well, if Sarek raised her, that means
Spock.
Yeah.
So Spock shows up. That's, I guess, the big deal. Spock shows up in this.
Well,
season two.
Not even, like, up front. Like, your big drop in episode one is Christopher Pike, who, for those of you not completely, like, baptized in Star Trek lore, is the captain of the Enterprise in the original pilot called The Cage.
If you saw the J.J. Abrams reboot, Christopher Pike was played by Thor?
No. No.
No?
No, Bruce Greenwood played Christopher Pike.
Oh, sorry. You're right.
Thor played George Kirk.
I just saw Ragnarok again last night, so I had Thor on the mind. Ignore what I just said. But still, Pike was in the
Pike is
the new
if
one.
You were looking at it, like, he is the captain of the Enterprise before Captain Kirk.
Yes, that's
takes
what
over.
I was trying to say. And Pike references Kirk's father in that reboot that came out in 09.
Yeah.
And so you may be familiar with him there. We could go on, but those who don't know don't care at this point, and those who do know, well, I'm sure we're leaving out his ID number.
Anson Mount plays Christopher Pike in this iteration of it. If any of you watched Hell on Wheels, he was the main character in that series. Mm-hmm. He is ridiculously charismatic. He is likable, almost the direct opposite of Lorca in the first season of Discovery.
Like, and yet you're watching it knowing he's going to basically end up like a legless tin man.
I mean, the menagerie, yes. Well, unless this splits off from that time.
And then he goes and lives pretend with that blonde woman who was in every show in the 60s.
Apparently later this season as well, number one, who was originally played by Majel Barrett Roddenberry, who went on to marry Gene Roddenberry, hence the name Roddenberry.
Would have been odd if her name already was.
She was in the pilot episode. She was the first officer.
Mm-hmm.
She will be in there this season, played by Rebecca Romijn.
Really? As
I, yeah. So I mean, they're doing a lot of drops of classic characters, and I mean, those aren't insignificant actors playing them either. I'm stoked as soon as you drop the name Star Trek. But, like, even if I was not, like, a fan, like, the first episode of Discovery was just solid television.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, movie quality, special effects, like, I mean, it's the moment-to-moment, like, just tension, like, the action.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would, not necessarily on the scale that the J.J. Abrams 2009 movie was, but, like, it's a really good show, especially when you consider it's essentially just a television
right.
show. I mean, is an app show? Is that a thing?
Mm.
Can we call that? I'm just like,
it's really good.
It's really solid television.
Mm-hmm.
We're
only
one episode in. Like, I am really enjoying it. I would not be surprised, as much as I enjoyed Anson Mount as Christopher Pike, if you saw him get a spinoff of his own. Because mm-hmm. apparently they're wanting to kind of brand this thing the way that Marvel does its movies, where you've got, you know, three or four Marvel movies, you have a shared universe. That's what they're wanting to do with Star Trek on CBS All Access.
Mm-hmm.
CBS does not, Paramount still owns the movie rights, so they can't get into any of that. But CBS can produce as many television shows as they want to.
And we are available to be in all of them.
And I'm going to tell you this, like, you want me to keep my subscription to CBS All Access year round and not just keep it whenever Discovery drops? Like, if you've got a Star Trek show, as soon as another one, like, let's say Picard pops in as soon as Discovery's over.
Mm-hmm.
The Section 31 show drops in right after that. The, let's say the Captain Pike show comes in right after that. Mm-hmm. This has not been announced.
It's
like,
Pike
this is
and
me.
Friends. It's Pike and Friends.
Whatever you want to call it. Anson Mount as Christopher Pike is, it's good, it's good television. I've only seen him for an hour. I would totally watch a show about this guy.
Wow.
And I'm gonna put it out there. I think a show about the adventures of the Enterprise with its captain would be successful.
I'm going out on a limb. Because we don't know. Oh, wow. I'm just all excited about
it. I'm just saying, the adventures of the Enterprise under Captain Pike, which we know slim to nothing about.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there. We're not going to get into it. Netflix is streaming Solo. For all of you who couldn't get your butts into a theater, you can now watch it for, I know Netflix isn't free, but you know what I mean. You can watch it.
A very reasonable price.
Yes. And then realize that you were wrong, and it is a good movie. So there it is. Another movie on Netflix that you should watch, which I had to be convinced to watch, is Roma. Have you seen it yet?
Is that the one Alfonso Cuarón did?
Yes.
For those of you unaware, did Gravity, the third Harry Potter movie,
mm-hmm.
Y tu mamá también, actually quite a fantastic director.
Right. So what is interesting about this, it's kind of based on his life, and it's about a young servant, I don't know, let's say she's 20. There's a young servant to a reasonably well-off family. I mean, they can have a servant.
Yeah.
You know, she's not enslaved or anything like that. It's just she has her own place to live attached to the house. She's got a friend who works there, too. And I think there are maybe four kids. And he is one of the kids. And it's based on his life. And other than that poignant story itself, there's nothing funny in Roma. But what is fascinating alone is, how did he make that shot? And it doesn't really take you out of the movie. It's just when you see the, I almost want to say, all of the machinations of a Cecil B. DeMille film. Okay, maybe not that much. But it's all one person has to walk on in this specific direction. And when did they let that dog loose? And this person had to hit the puddle right then for the car to go by, for it to affect this. There are not a lot of edits in these long shots, and they are amazing.
Alfonso Cuarón is a just legitimately, like, this is the kind of guy that, like, studios need to throw money at him.
Yes.
If he can do if he can do that with, like, I'm going to go ahead and say that that movie did not cost a lot. I don't know the actual figures, but I mean, you're talking about breadcrumbs compared to, like, say, what the second Transformers movie cost.
Right.
This is the kind of person you need to let have access to, like, the pirate's treasure of the studio. Like, these people are making interesting, insightful, original films. Like, let them into your franchise. The third Harry Potter movie, Warner Brothers did that. Like, basically reset the visual tone of Harry Potter after that. The rest of the movies follow Prisoner of Azkaban.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in thanks in no small part to Alfonso Cuarón being the one that shepherded that movie.
So there's, for the most part, I'm going to say it's PG-13, because there's one guy full frontal for half a second, and then there's a scene that is hard to watch because it is realistic, and that's it. So you can find that one point and skip over it if whatever. It's a quiet movie, and it's not a movie to be listened to. You have to see it. And even if you're not interested in the story, look at it from a filmmaking standpoint.
He is a very visual director, like Gravity. Like, if anybody said her name, just let me, Sandra Bullock.
Mm-hmm.
The Sandra Bullock movie that is not Bird Box. Like, it is a visual feast, and it is intense. Like,
it is.
Honestly, like, I think my blood pressure went up while I watch that movie.
Yes, you're making me anxious just talking about it.
And, like, I'll tell you, there's only a couple of films I thought really legitimately warranted their 3D. Like, Avatar was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity is probably one of the only other films that I will say needs to be seen in 3D to get the full effect
of
that
George
movie.
George Clooney, I understand.
Sure, yeah. That's obviously what I meant.
So, in my eyes, now by the time you're listening to this, the Oscar nominations will already be out, and maybe it is potentially going to be nominated, or he will be nominated. And in my eyes, what he has done here, filmatically, is similar to what Orson Welles did. So, it's that big of a deal as to how he made this.
I think, like, Orson Welles did things that nobody had ever thought to do, like with cameras, with the narrative outline of a movie. Like, they get outside of it. Like, I think before it's all said and done, and you look back on the filmography of Alfonso Cuarón, you're going to be talking about him, like, with your Hitchcocks, your Spielbergs. Like, they're just, they don't work within the structure. They go outside of it and rewrite their own way to do things. Like, he is a very outside the box thinker. And I think before it's all said and done, he's going to do something that leaves a lasting legacy on film in general.
And Roma was never released, or maybe it was just released.
I think it was. They did like a 10 city. It was one of the
released enough so it could
so
be
that it would be eligible for Oscar.
See, I wondered why I wasn't here. This Netflix film could be nominated. That's
because
why.
They can't. Yeah.
Okay, they had to do a brief.
You have
release.
To have a theatrical run of at least at this and blah blah blah. I don't know the exact rule, but you do have to be theatrically released in order to be eligible.
It is a riveting film, and. Has it been canceled yet? Punisher 2?
It has not been canceled yet. However, after Daredevil was canceled, that was basically the death nail right there.
Yeah.
Punisher season 2 dropped, I think, on the 17th.
And it was this. Is he still angry?
No, he has solved all of his issues. He is no longer the Punisher. He's the Forgiver.
Oh, okay.
Well, I really strange what no. None of that. None of that happened. Actually, I think he's angrier than he was and he was pretty angry first season.
He was real angry.
Whoever is doing the fight choreography for these, like, I'd gotten off work and I had told myself, "Okay, I have to cover it. I have to get one of these at least for the show."
I thought you were going to say that you were going to work out.
No, don't be silly. Like, I was, I ended up binging five in a row.
Oh, is that good?
Staying up until, I think, like six that morning. Like,
wow.
I was eating while I was doing it, and I just put my food down. Like, it's intense. Mm-hmm. Like, the Punisher is one of my favorite Marvel characters, and he was never one that they were going to be able to feature. Well, I mean, I guess you could have in the Avengers, but like, the Punisher has always been like M-rated. Like, it's like giving a PG Deadpool. Like, mm-hmm. Punisher and Deadpool have to be M and R.
Right.
Like, they just do. Like, if you ever, I don't think you read Garth Ennis's run on Punisher, but like, Punisher is not known, again, for his forgiving heart or his subtle ways of convincing, you know, criminals of this, that, or the other. Mm-hmm. Like, the Punisher, for lack of a better term, punishes people.
Mm-hmm.
Some would even argue that he enjoys hurting people.
Oh, you think?
Now, he does it to bad people, so I don't find as much of an issue with that. But this current season, like, they did not skimp on the punishment. Like, one of the episodes, they are trapped in a police station. Like, feels very, like, John Carpenter kind of assault on precinct, like, 13. Like, it's just, basically, they're trapped inside. They think that Frank Castle is a criminal. They've got him locked up. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does a lot of stuff that really would make you think that he is a criminal.
Nah.
Basically, he's like, let me out there. If I die, you haven't lost anything. There's like 30 guys surrounding this building. They let Frank out in like roughly all black into a forest, and you just start seeing people just getting clipped one, two, three, just one by one. He is just going through. And these are like trained black ops assassins.
Again, not trained by Captain Picard.
No, not those, not that, yeah, not okay. Not that one. Oh, but oh my god, like it's just, it, like I said, it is the choreography. They have just nailed the Punisher in a way that the, I think it's three movies, you had the Dolph Lundgren 1990 movie, which is awful. Doesn't even feature the Skull t-shirt. Like, the,
what's the point?
It's like having a Batman that like doesn't have a cowl. Like I don't. You had the one that appeared in 2004, and then you had the Ray, I think, Winstone 2008 or 2009 Punisher movie, and none of them really just they don't get it right.
So for you, Punisher,
this
must see.
As a fan of these series, like of the comic books, like this right here. Is the, like, Marvel got it right this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me even sadder that it's so, like, I haven't got to the end of the season yet, but I'm trying to kind of marshal it out, like, a little bit. Like, even, I this may be the last dose I get, okay?
Mm-hmm,
like,
I know.
I'm a diabetic, and I've got some insulin, and I know I've got to make it last, because I don't know that. Like I said, they haven't announced the cancellation yet,
but it's coming.
With Disney's impending, Disney Plus, the fact that they have literally canceled every other series within a week of it dropping on Netflix, the likelihood that this is the last season of The Punisher, and like, guys, it's good. It is so good. Like, it's going to physically hurt me when they cancel this, and it's gonna happen. Like, if you hear about me, like, being hospitalized, this is why.
You're listening to Binge or Cringe with Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens in the Hints Oakley Podcast Center.
Center.
Now, on Amazon Prime, I caught a very British scandal. Now, it's only three episodes, and it stars Hugh Grant, who is... I'll Google it. How old is Hugh now? Close to 60?
I think 62? He's 22.
Okay.
That's
well,
inaccurate.
Hugh Grant, always the affable rapscallion.
I think that's, yeah, I believe that's actually what it will say on his tombstone.
Anyway, this is based on a true story, so much so, this is what really got me. It said, based on a true story, so I looked it up, and the casting was such that everyone really looked like who they were based on, just dramatically so. And I just found that interesting. I need to find out how old Hugh Grant is. I'm looking that up. Anyway, it's three episodes, and it's about what happened to someone who is a member of Parliament, and he, no, I just want to know how old he is, man. Just show me how old he is. He was born in 1960.
I was going to say, do you want me to operate my phone?
No. Anyway, he's not meant to look swoon-worthy in here, but he looks like a man his age. You know what I mean? He's not like all dolled up to be. He just looks like a man his age in the 60s and early 70s. In Parliament, and you'll have him and his friends talking about something all the way over to the left, only to be interrupted by, these eggs are delicious. You know, it is a very British show.
That was going to be my description. Yeah. It's very British.
And it's really well done, and there's a lot of it that's amusing, but the main story is this member of Parliament, he and his friends, also in Parliament, they tend to walk the line, and in that time frame in Great Britain, that was against the law. So he takes up with a young man and gives him an apartment and all this stuff, and they spend a few years together, and he writes him letters and calls him Bunny. That man is still alive, by the way. And after years and years, there's really kind of a running gag. The guy lost his insurance card, which then meant it was like a right-to-work card. So he couldn't get work without this card. And he still doesn't have it. He's like 80 years old. Guy still doesn't have his card. That's kind of amusing.
In a very British way.
In a very British way, indeed. Indubitably. It's very enjoyable. And I learned a great deal about it, and it helped a lot of things change in British Parliament. But it's fascinating and well done, and it is very, very British, which I love. Some people find it off-putting, but it's only three episodes, so deal. However, how can it?
That's barely the commitment of a movie.
I know,
right,
it says
there.
Like season one. It's like season one, and you just told the whole story. A Very British Scandal, season one, it's three episodes, you're done.
It's barely a mini-series.
I know.
It's a mini-series.
I believe that was a
misnomer. It's a micro-series.
Misnomer. But it is very, very, I was going to say upstairs, downstairs, but that might not mean anything to you. It's BBC produced, very well done. And
I could a lot of, the BBC actually does a lot of high-quality programming.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It's kind of like a slightly humorous, because there's some comedy going on there, a slightly humorous Miramax film that's very British.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. I think that's
have it.
That's pretty
we
spot
have
on
it.
Right there.
Yeah. So, Very British Scandal on Amazon Prime, and...
One question about... I noticed this, and I'm curious if you think the same thing. Star Trek Discovery is an addendum to what we were talking about earlier. Dropped on January 17th. That date, if you reverse the month and the day, is 1701. Do you think that was intentional? Or do you... 1701 is the registry number of the original Enterprise.
I do think that was intentional.
Like, there's no way that was on accident.
That didn't just happen.
I'm just... Like, I thought it was really cute when I looked... I looked at the date, and it was 01017, and I went, wait a minute. There's no way CBS did that with
like,
somebody was
look
just
what
like
we're gonna do to the Star Trek.
They're like,
huh,
they all love this. 1701 is the day we were released, Discovery season 2.
Yeah, that was done on purpose, and I can say that with no knowledge beforehand.
Okay, all right.
All right. Going up. I mean, you're the one who's close with Shatner now because I've seen the photo.
I'm just saying, yeah. We were 45 feet away from each other.
It's as if your family.
A very it's like we've had Thanksgiving, and shared an apartment
yes,
together.
Very much so.
In a Neil Simon comedy.
There are many more things for us to watch, and I keep telling myself it's for the show. It's for the good of the people.
That's what I tell myself.
Yeah, okay, it works for me. So thank you so much for listening, and happy watching, because I know I have a full plate. And again, Thor Ragnarok, I'm on the Ragnarok diet once a week. It's working out very well for me. Thank you very much. Spoon-feeding
that
hilarious. Thanks for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.